So, I'll go through the next set of questions for chapter number 5. The first question is, I do not quite understand why it is that maintaining a patient state of mind prevents the arising of anger. I can see that impatience can be one cause of anger, but we get angry for many different reasons, for example, being criticized or attacked. Could you kindly explain a bit more about the connection between patience and anger? I think you didn't understand the patience. I think we will discuss this more in detail in the next chapter, which is on patience, and the whole chapter is dedicated on patience. So therefore, we will learn more about patience. But I think here you understood patience or impatience. I mean, patience here you understood as the opposite of just impatience. Which is not the case in Buddhism. The patience is not just being impatient or the opposite of being impatient, but a whole lot of things. So we will discuss this in the chapter, and then I think you will understand it much more clearly because not getting angry or not getting your mind disturbed is patience. And this can be, there are many, many reasons or many ways on how to maintain that peace of mind or serenity or clarity. And one is that to understand very clearly that being angry or upset or hateful is not useful. It doesn't serve any purpose. It's neither good for you nor for others. So when one really understands that deeply, experientially, and then one kind of actualizes that experience, then one gets patience, and then there's not the anger reduces or eventually kind of doesn't stick. I think that's so. Therefore, there's lots of connection with anger and patience. But this will be very much discussed in great detail in the next chapter, so I wouldn't go through it too much. Now the next question is, in one of the teachings in the Way of the Bodhisattva, there is a statement, everything comes from the mind, but in the book Progressive Stages of Meditation on Emptiness, there seems to be another stage of learning involving luminosity beyond the mind. Could you please share your insight since I believe these contradict? These do not contradict because when at this stage, when we are discussing the mind, we are not distinguishing the luminosity mind and the samsaric mind. We are seeing mind as a whole. And then maybe if you go a little bit deeper, or then the mind, what we call, or the consciousness, our consciousness is not just the samsaric emotions and thoughts and concepts, and but it has another aspect which is clear and calm and which is kind of in-viewed, which is always contains all the positive experiences. You can call it Buddha nature or Buddha mind. It's also a part of our mind. It's also an aspect of our mind. So therefore, you know, there's a teaching on how to experience that side of the mind, which is the whole kind of purpose of meditation and, you know, practice and things like that. There's no contradiction. But here what he's saying is that this is something obvious. It's also the same thing, like you can say this also, that all the negative emotions and, you know, sufferings and pain and all this samsaric state of mind is also the product of the mind, which is the samsaric mind. And the enlightened mind, the Buddha mind, you know, the completely, you know, peaceful and compassionate and wisdom mind is also the mind, because that's the luminous mind. So therefore, you know, all good things, all bad things, positive, negative, everything is coming from our mind. So we need to work on our mind. Mind is very important. That's the idea. And then the next question is, Dear Rinpoche, I've been trying to understand better the paramita of patience and how this relates to the rising of anger. Does patience in this context mean a sustained state of mindfulness that doesn't get disturbed by anger? Is it that you perceive the anger, but you manage not to react to it? I think so. You can say that. You can say that. I think that's okay. But as I said before, we have a whole chapter on patience, so I will not go too deep or say too much on patience at this stage. And then there's another question. In chapter 5, verse 15, the state of your mind is seen as more important than acts of body and speech. However, does not a truly stable mind spontaneously generate positive actions? Are not one's actions the natural fruit of the state of one's mind? Positive giving rise to positive and negative to negative. Please, would you comment? Yes, of course, that's why mind is so important, because it is the it is what generates the actions. So if we, you know, if we need to change our actions or reactions, or, you know, the way we live, where we experience things, we need to work on our mind. Otherwise, there is no possibility. There is no possibility. So we need to start to train our mind. And if we can do that, you know, if we can really train our mind, then everything is done. If not, then however much we control the actions of the body and speech, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really change, because, you know, unless our mind changes and unless our way we perceive things, way we react changes, we can control them, but we cannot totally transform them. That's why the mind is so important. That's why the emphasis is that we should work on the mind first, and, you know, we should really go to the source. And therefore, yeah, it is not saying that our actions are not important. Our actions are very important, of course. But, you know, in order to transform our actions of the body and speech, what we really have to do is work on our mind. That's why mind is important. So therefore, you know, the whole kind of practice of Dhamma or understanding is in how to work to really understand, you know, that our mind is so important, how we think, how we react, how our emotions come and how we see things. And, you know, if we don't do something there, you know, then things don't change. You know? So therefore, it's very, very important. That's why it is, mind is so important. I hope this, I made it a little bit more clear here. And then the next question, I think it's not even a question in a way. Maybe it's a comment. I'm starting today my study. This is from Lily. Thank you, Rinpoche, for the simplicity and deepness of your teaching. It's a very good way of staying connected with you. I don't know why I didn't start before right time. It's wonderful that we live in this advanced technological world that make this transmission possible. So thank you very much. You are most welcome for the group. And I will try my best to go through these wonderful teachings and try to explain as much as I can, and hopefully it will be of some use. Sometimes when I'm traveling or when I have technical problems, or if I'm sometimes lazy, then I cannot transmit these things on time, but I'm sure you understand, and so we can go slowly, and there's no hurry also. So we will slowly go through it, and if those of you who have, you know, who are joining in between can go from the beginning, and also can go from, you know, can study from the beginning of the book, can also study from, you know, like the beginning of the chapter, you know, and then slowly go through another chapter before or things like that. It is not necessarily that unless you really go from the beginning, you don't understand anything. Of course, if you can listen from the beginning, it would be much more clearer, maybe easier, because the things have been a little bit building up. But I think you can also understand some things if you kind of join in the middle as well. So, thank you, and wish all the best to everybody. I'm now in Germany, in Uttingried, and of course, the technology, is much better, and it's easier to send things. Sometimes in India, it takes hours and hours to send one video, so, and sometimes days also. So, thank you very much. See you soon. Thank you.